Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to another special edition of Hard Hits, the podcast. It is the podcast. It is the Flex, the Fizzle, in the house here, Staten Island, New York City. A little late night podcast special here as talk a little more about the college basketball that's been going on. Another busy day on the first weekend of the NCAAs, and a lot of stuff happening because they had a big bubble burst. So, yeah, the first real bracket buster taking place today with Villanova, the defending champs, going down to defeat in Buffalo. And they lose 65-62 to Wisconsin. Hard Hits Network here, Derek Felix. And how would I break this game down? Well, this is what I'll say about this game. I just don't think Villanova ever really looked comfortable out there when they were playing against Wisconsin. And I think that's credit to Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin was not your normal 8 seed. I think last night, actually, on the overnight. And I think that's exactly what happened here, is that you had a team, experienced team like Wisconsin, that shouldn't have been an 8 seed. They were underseeded by the committee. They should have been about a 5 or a 6, probably a 6, I think, because they got to the Big Ten Championship game and lost in the Big Ten Championship game to Michigan. But somehow they gave them an 8 seed, and you take an experienced team that's well coached and, you know, has experienced guys like Bronson Koenig and Nigel Hayes, and they were going to be a problem. They were a problem for Villanova, and just the way the first half was played, and Nova missing shots, and you know, Brunson had no points at halftime, which was really surprising. Jackets, brutal again. He was just brutal. I mean, he just never really got in that groove, and I thought he was really disappointing for Villanova. What he finished with 6 points, and he was bricking shots, and as it turned out, DiVincenzo actually was their best player. He's their most effective player. Josh Hart was ended out of foul trouble. Yeah, I think he did lead them with 19 points, and they made a good adjustment after trailing at halftime. They realized that they weren't knocking down the threes, and they were driving the ball. And even Jenkins made a couple of shots, a couple of his baskets on the drives, and Hart did as well. But what it really comes down to is Wisconsin just hung around. DiVincenzo made two consecutive threes. There's cold-blooded threes, and I always thought he was the most underrated player on this Villanova team this year. He got more playing time with a guy I can't pronounce, Arcia Cadano. I was very impressed, you know, with his ability. He knocked out two threes to put them up 57-50. And at that point, the game, you're thinking, they got him. This game's over. But it wasn't over. After Wisconsin took a timeout, they came right back. And I'm thinking of Arcia Diacono. Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of. He's in the NBDL. But they didn't have them. Wisconsin came back, and they made the plays that they had to make out there. So you have to give them a lot of credit, especially – you know, with Bronson kind of coming back in and knocking down big shots, made a big driving hoop. I thought one of the biggest plays, and this was awful out of bounds, and the ball was taken underneath the basket. And I called the play. I was watching it with my dad, and they're down 3 points, Wisconsin, and I'm saying, you know what? Watch the guy off the inbounds. And sure enough, Koenig inbounds the ball, comes loose, gets a pass, and drains a cold-blooded three. And they did not guard him off the inbounds. And I thought that Villanova defensively wasn't that good in this game when they needed to be. They did not shut off the baseline. They let Hayes have his way. They didn't always guard the way they needed to guard, and that's why Wisconsin was able to hang around. You know, they had led for most of the first half, and then Villanova started to play more like Villanova in the second half. But, you know, this wasn't the same team, especially when we take away the proven kid like R.C. Tocono, was such a clutch player last year. He set up Jenkins for that winner, doing everything he had to do to lay it out there for Jenkins to hit that cold-blooded three to beat Carolina. Daniel Ultrafu was a real important player inside for them. And they didn't really have that on this team. And I really do think, you know, they missed him. They really did miss, you know, that inside presence. And Hayes had his way in this game. Hayes plays bigger than his size. He's not the biggest guy, but you know, he's athletic. He's strong. He can rebound the ball. And he did so many good things. So many good things in this game. And he winds up getting the winner. After the game, he would say on Twitter, they can't calculate heart, will to win, toughness, desire. They can't put that into a formula. And so they become away winners, and they're going to the Sweet 16, and they deserve to go. He's listed at 6'8". I would say he's about 6'7", maybe 6'6", but he plays bigger than his size, and he might be a pro prospect. He might be a guy that winds up on an NBA roster, whether it's out of a camp and he doesn't get drafted. But a guy that works hard out of a summer league and then winds up on a roster. So very exciting, obviously, for them, you know, to win that game, on that game, the experienced team. You take an experienced team, and that's one of the reasons I did not understand. I could not understand how they were an 8 seed. And they went out there and they proved it. They proved that they were better. And Hayes said, you know, he knew the baseline was going to be open in the interview. Very candid in the interview because they were playing him tight. And one of the first cardinal rules of basketball is you always try to take that baseline, put that left leg outside. Put the left leg outside the outside of the court. If you put it towards the outside, he can't get the baseline on you. You know, they would have had him trapped, but they did not execute there. And Hayes did a great job there. The score on a nice move on a reverse lefty finish. And with 13 seconds left, Villanova called the timeout. And also, Wisconsin defense really stepped up. They knew that Jay Wright would go to Just Hart, who is their money player. And twice they were able to come away with the big stops. First one was Hart driving and got into no man's land, got doubled up, and he walked. He got forced into a walk. Just a terrific play. Just terrific defense. And another time, it was the second time, he drove and once again, he missed a shot. They rebounded it, and they were able to put it away. They had two chances at it because Wisconsin missed, you know, some of free throws, missed the front end. But they were finally able to seal it up. They knocked down a couple, and then 65-62. The second one was missed, though. And what they did there is they doubled up DiVincenzo right away with two seconds left, basically. And he couldn't get rid of the ball. So by the time it was let go, it was just a prayer that I had no chance. And that was just great. That was a great job there out of Wisconsin there. They did a terrific job. You know, this team's only lost 9 games. And they play in the Big Ten, and they somehow were an 8 seed, and it just never made a lot of sense. You know, Ethan Happ was an unsung hero in this game. 12 points for them, 2 steals, 2 blocks, played with 4 fouls down the stretch, scored 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought he played a really good game. you know, Brown had 10 points too. So they had four guys in double digits. You know, as I mentioned, for Villanova, DiVincenzo scored 15, and he's only a sophomore. He played real well. Brunson had 11 all in the second half, and he started to play very well, but they kind of went away from him down the stretch. I didn't really understand that, but they did feature Hart, who got the 19 points, but he did turn it over five times, had five of their eight turnovers. They just never could get it going. Jenkins was disappointing, 2 of 9 for the field. They only made 5 threes, 5 of 16, but Cuts was 6 of 18. So there wasn't much of a difference there. They did get it up to 41% after only shooting 30, I think, in the first half. But they just weren't consistent enough, and they did not have enough to overcome Wisconsin. So Wisconsin is going to that Sweet 16, and good job out of them there. So that was the big upset of the day. You know, the other games that, you know, obviously they kind of drew my interest, and obviously Gonzaga. Gonzaga, you know, against Northwestern was one of those games. And the reason being is that Gonzaga was supposed to blow away Northwestern. And when they first came out, it just looked like it was men against boys. You know, Gonzaga is very deep, and they've only lost one game the whole year. And they were running away with it. Northwest was jacking up threes. They were pushed out to the perimeter, and they were not able to hit anything. And they were just forcing a lot of bad shots. They dug themselves such a big hole. And I think it was Gonzaga scoring 12 consecutive points after a 6-6. And it looked like they were just going to run them out of the building. And Chris Collins and the story of Cinderella was going to be over. But somehow, this school, they rose up. They got back at it. And we can't say enough about Chris Collins, the job he did. McIntosh did not shoot the ball well, but he did finish with 20. Mr. Apple, 20-7. And somehow, Vic Love, 18. And also Scotty Lindsay with 12, but somehow they dug deep. They got back in it. You know, despite the better athleticism, the better players for Gonzaga, with Williams Goss having a big game, and they got 14 each from Matthews and from Collins. But somehow they just found a way to get back in the game. And from 22 points down, they were right there. They were right there, down 5 points. And then comes just an awful call. And we've seen it. We've seen it already in this tournament in the 3 days. We've seen the bad calls and the bad officiating and just terrible officiating. On what should have been a dunk or a basket dunk that would have cut it to 3 points, they somehow missed the call. I can't even remember what it was called. All I know is it was terrible. It was a terrible call. And the call itself, it didn't make any sense. And it was clear offensive interference. They saw it as a block. But the player for Gonzaga, he had his hand underneath that and through the net. That's basket interference. So it should have been 2 points rewarded to Northwestern. An easy call to anybody who was watching, to anybody who knows anything about basketball. It should have been 2 points right there, and they're down by 3 points. And that crowd was going wild, and they would have been going absolutely crazy. Instead, booze right down, and then Collins was fired up, pointing, you know, gesturing with his hands, how the guy's hand was in the net. He stepped out onto the court, and they teed him up. They gave him a technical foul, and that was just That was a crusher. That was huge. I mean, they tease him up when he was right. You give him a technical foul. Yeah, he's, of course, coach, you know, you're not supposed to stand on the court. He was emotional, and he was right, and they gave him the technical foul. And that gave Gonzaga two free throws and the ball. They made the two free throws. They didn't confer on their possession, but instead of it being, you know, it's a five-point game, Gonzaga was able to, you know, kind of put it away. I mean, of course, they did hang around late. They fouled. They continued to play hard, but ultimately they would come up short and lose 79-73. And just a disappointing conclusion because, and I'm not saying Northwestern would have won the game, but nobody knows. You know, what would have happened? If it had been cut to three, what would have happened? I think it's like a better team, but a better team doesn't always win, as we know. Anything could happen in this kind of a tournament. You know that. We know it. We've seen it. We've seen it a lot. George Mason against Connecticut is the best example I can think of. Villanova and Georgetown, obviously, right there. And we've seen it. We've seen hundreds of examples of it. So, I mean, it was just an awful call. Hideous. It was bad. I saw, of course, I got to finally see the flagrant one foul. That wasn't against Seton Hall. It went against Seton Hall in a game that they blew anyway against Arkansas. And that was just a disaster. That was a disaster, obviously. The one on Desi Rodriguez. And they still haven't won a tournament game since 2004. Well, it was Tyshawn. Wasn't Tyshawn on that team? I believe he was, actually. I think he was on that team the last they played for them. The last time they actually were in the tournament, but the last time they won one. So, just very disappointing. Derek Felix here with the podcast. We're doing NCAA double A's. I'm breaking down some of the games that we got to see. But obviously, Villanova, the big story going out. I said that I thought it was going to go down to the wire. I said that I thought that they had a chance, Wisconsin. And Villanova just did not look right. They didn't look right against Mount St. Mary's. They shouldn't have struggled with them. They obviously did not look all that good against Seton Hall in the Big East semis. They did run away from Creighton. And Creighton was one and done anyway in the tournament. So they lost. And Rhode Island is going to try to make it 2-for-2. They're going to try to upset Oregon later tonight. That's going to be a fascinating game. That's something to watch right there. There are some fascinating games that I will get to. Wichita State and Kentucky should be an interesting matchup. A little bit of a tweak there by the NCAAs. The early one is Michigan and Louisville. That could be a really good game. There are some really good matchups. South Carolina Dukes, that's a South Carolina home game, basically, but I don't know if they have enough to beat Duke. That's a late game. The real late game is Cincinnati UCLA. Just some of that, which could be a real good game. So these are some of the games. Michigan State at Kansas, number one. And I pretty much think I went through every game, but I didn't go through. I want to go through some of the other games that we got to see here. I did not get to see West Virginia and Ultra Virginia. I really did want to watch it, but I didn't get the chance to see it. I did see the end. West Virginia is one of those teams, you know. Either they play really well under Huggins, or they could be a little out of control. That today, they played well, and Ultra Dame did not. They got off to a 10-0 start. They built up the lead, and they won the game. They won 83-71. So the 4 does win over the 5. And I like Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame would win this game, but it wasn't to be. Don't forget that Bob Huggins is a really good coach, just like Mike Play is. So they're both great coaches, and West Virginia athleticism was able to win out. They had five guys in double digits, led by Carter, and Bonte Colson did everything he had to do, 27 points and 8 rebounds, and he certainly was a story, but Beecham did not play well, had an awful game, 2 of 14, 1 from 9 from the 3, and only one other guy in double digits, and that was Vastoria, and that's just not enough. That's just not enough in this kind of a game. So they did not get the kind of contributions they needed throughout. Well, West Virginia, who was a very good team the whole year in the Big 12, don't forget. You know, they beat Kansas once, and they lost to Kansas. The other time that they lost to Kansas, I watched that game, and they just totally lost it. And maybe I overreacted. Maybe I thinking, you know, just watching Notre Dame, thinking, you know, I like the experience of Notre Dame. But, yeah, West Virginia is also pretty experienced, and they come away with the win, and now they're going to take on Gonzaga. That could be a really good game. That could be a very interesting watch. So that will be interesting to watch, obviously. So they're gonna challenge Gonzaga, and that could be a tough game right there. Games that were disappointments. Well, another ACC team that really disappointed was Florida State. They get blown away by Xavier. 91-66, and Xavier again with Star, you know, the coaching star. And I'll tell you, I mean, you look at Xavier, and you look at, obviously, I'm thinking of Chris, of the coach for Xavier, who I can't think of his last name right now. But I'll just check it one more time. Chris Mack. And now it's Chris Mack going to take his Xavier Musketeers, who are without one of their star players. And here they are again, once again performing the NCAA AAs, destroy Florida State as an 11, have won two games in the Sweet 16, and they're going to take on Arizona and former coach Sean Miller. So, there it is, Chris Mack and Sean Miller. They're going to hook up, and I'll tell you, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm not saying that I think they'll be able to win, because Arizona's got the bigs, obviously. Trevor Lewitt, 29. But I'll tell you what, they could score points. They're athletic. They always put up a good fight. I don't really know what to say about Florida State and Leonard Hamilton. Very disappointing. Very disappointing. They had a real good year. They just totally wilted. And they got destroyed. Just got taken apart by Xavier. And maybe just one of the most overrated ACC teams. Possibly. So, speaking of that, Virginia. Should we even mention Virginia? Scoring only 39 points against Florida. What was that all about? Boy, I hate myself. I mean, I had Florida originally winning that game, and then I reversed trend and thought, and I kept going back to Virginia. Well, they do play pretty good defense, but obviously I should have just stuck with Florida, who was just more athletic. So that was a mistake. But 39 points, 17 at the half, that is just brutal. I mean, you got to be able to score, and they did not score 39 points. That's an embarrassment. So we've seen a lot of ACC teams really fall by the wayside already in this tournament, and maybe that conference wasn't as good as thought. Maybe it really wasn't as good as thought. I mean, obviously, you got Duke; they're looking to make it to the Sweet 16. They're going to go up against South Carolina in South Carolina, so that's going to be bedlam. South Carolina's got some pretty big athletic guards too, like Duke. But Duke's got the inside game with Jason Tatum. So, I mean, that might be a more interesting game than I thought. And you got Carolina, obviously. They're trying to advance to the Sweet 16, and they're expected to make a big run. So, you know, we want to see we want to see if Arkansas actually has anything for them. But, you know, maybe they have more than Seton Hall would have had. We just can't seem to get out of our own way. So, I don't know. Maybe Bruce right about Willer. Maybe he really isn't that good a coach. I don't know. I can't really explain what happened to Seton Hall in that final minute. But I want to talk about Purdue. You know, I mocked them in the chat room. They had a big lead. They jumped out to a big lead on Iowa State. Iowa State's always one of those teams that's just very tough. They are tough to beat in these games, in this tournament. They always make rushes. And here they were again. They were down big, down by double digits, down the whole game, down by 13, 14, or whatever, 18. And they just come storming back. They're coming storming back, making that push. They even got the lead in this game. And, Burton, the guard, Deontay Burton, played bigger than his size in a 6'5 frame. And he had an unbelievable dunk. He's coming back, hustling on defense, blocking a shot that I don't even know how he blocked. Because this one player for Purdue, Caleb Swanigan is his name. What a stud he is. He's just a monster. He's a monster. I'll admit that I haven't seen Purdue, play much all year. I don't think I saw them once, but I'll tell you what. I mean, Caleb Swanigan is a sophomore who he's just a monster. I mean, he's 6'9", he's 245 or 249. He is a story because he actually, in middle school, 10 years old, was 349 pounds. He was that big, 349, dominating middle school. So he overcame child obesity to play at the college level. He lost over 100 pounds, dropped 100 pounds, and he is just a load inside. So, and he is the reason that Purdue prevailed in this game. You know, when they fell behind by 2 points, I'm thinking, or you're thinking to yourself, is this happening again? Is Purdue going to choke again? Are they going to fall apart again? I mean, they barely got through their first game. Are they actually going to lose this? Are they going to lose in a game that they seem to have won? Will the Swanigan and Edwards combined for 41? No. No, Swanigan wouldn't let it happen. Not on his watch. A big go-ahead three-pointer. Can't even remember who made it. They didn't make a lot of threes, this team. But one of the guards made a three. It was either, I think it might have been Matthias or it might have been Klein. But a huge three-pointer. Great ball reversal. And they make the extra pass. And that's what you want. If you're going to take a three, make the extra pass. Get an open shot, open look. Get a good look at it, like Princeton had in that first round against Notre Dame. You know, get a look. Get a good look at it. And, that's how close Princeton was to beating Notre Dame and playing for that Sweet 16. So you think about how things go sometimes. But you want that luck. And they got the look there. They went back ahead. They didn't fall behind again. And they were able to put it away. They made just enough free throws to win the game at the end. But Swanigan with the 20 points, the 12 rebounds, 7 assists. He is a complete player. He also made 3 threes. This guy is a monster. And maybe he's not as discussed as some of the other guys are discussed, like a Malik Monk or a Fox or the kid from Washington that's going to go number one. But I'll tell you what, Caleb Swanigan, what a great story. What an inspiration. That is the first time in 7 years that Purdue is in the Sweet 16. A terrific job right there. As they get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2010. Congratulations to my boy Andy Dean. huge Purdue fan. They're in the Sweet 16, so you have to give them credit. They have proven that they can get there, and now you've got Purdue in that Sweet 16, and they're going to be a load. They are going to be tough. Do actually advancing, they're waiting for Kansas. Well, you know, Kansas, you know, they still have to play their game, obviously, against Michigan State and Tom Izzo. I expect them to win that game. Izzo's probably arguably one of the best coaches out there. He gets his team to buy in. So who knows what's going to happen there. Rhode Island, Oregon matchup, I think that's a great matchup. Obviously, Michigan and Louisville could be good. Kentucky was a tough seed. That's a game I'll watch. So there are a handful of good matchups, obviously. But you don't think Kansas is going to have problems. They do get through and they get into that Sweet 16 game round with Flanagan and his sidekick there. I think that could be a problem. That could be a tough game. That could be a real tough game. You know, I talk about Xavier all the time and how they make the push. Well, how about Butler? You know, Butler, every year the Bulldogs. I mean, they are tough. They get into that Sweet 16 round led by Kelvin Martin. Kelvin Martin having a big game, 19-4-6, and they beat Middle Tennessee. A lot of people loved Middle Tennessee. They just loved them to win that 12-5 matchup, which they were a favorite, which tells you all you need to know about the NCAA is where they're seeding Minnesota 5. I think initially on Minnesota, I took Middle Tennessee, and Minnesota was a young team, but I don't think they should have been a 5 seed. But it was somehow Wisconsin was an 8 seed. It doesn't make sense. Just like Wichita State being a 10 doesn't make sense. What I will say is that I do give credit to Middle Tennessee for staying with Butler, for, you know, keeping it close. They did make it tough. But Butler is a proven team. They're a proven commodity. And they represent the Big East very well because they know how to play this time of year. So you got Butler in that Sweet 16 again. They're waiting. North Carolina, who's going to take on Arkansas. They're a heavy favorite, obviously. I'm not saying that Butler can match up with Carolina, especially inside. I know that their guards will make it interesting, and I know that they're very well coached. So I don't think they have enough to put up, but I think they'll put up a fight. I think that would be a pretty good Sweet 16 matchup if it comes down. So, and that to me is the strongest region. That is the region to watch because you still have Kentucky, you still have UCLA, and if both Kentucky and UCLA do their thing and advance, Kentucky taking on Wichita State and UCLA taking on Cincinnati in the nightcap, and those teams advance, then you will have those top 4 seeds all coming, all looking to make that Elite Eight and set up some big semifinals in that South region. And that's something that I did envision. You know, but I also envisioned that you have Villanova, they would find a way to beat Wisconsin, and they would be on their way. And that collision course with Duke, that's not going to happen now. So that's disappointing, obviously. But the other thing you have to wonder, you know, they made Villanova the 1 seed overall. And they gave Villanova a tough path. And we saw it with Wisconsin. We saw what they could do. St. Mary's, Arizona. This was an interesting game. You know, St. Mary's came out, and they played very well for most of the first half. They played great defense. They took away Lauri Markkanen for most of the first half by doubling him, and they forced Arizona to the perimeter, and they were taking really bad, ill-advised shots from the outside. And while St. Mary's, they're more methodical with the ball, they were going inside to their big guy. I'll tell you what, I think what I liked about this matchup is there was a contrast in styles, okay? Landale, that's the bear guy, and he's a classic post guy. He's your classic back to the basket player. Had a real good first half. He had 12 points. He had 12 and 7 in the first half. He did finish with 19 points and 11 rebounds and 4 assists too. So he also can distribute the ball too. But he obviously didn't have as much of an impact in that second half. Got into a little bit of did not have, you know, as much of the impact that they want them to have in that second half. And Markkanen was a big reason for it, actually. Markkanen, he really picked up his play. And I'll tell you, if Markkanen played in the second half, then Arizona becomes very, very tough to beat. Markkanen doesn't, you know, I think I like about Markkanen, he doesn't take a lot of shots, this kid. He's 7 foot. He's 7 foot, 240. But he moves very well. Obviously, he could step out and knock down the three. He could play inside. He doesn't have to have the ball. He plays solid defense. The two blocks that he had on Landale were sensational. Clean blocks, too, against a guy that was probably bigger. It was bigger and stronger than him. And he just made two big rejections. He finishes with 16 points to pace Arizona, 11 rebounds, double-double. His fifth, I think, of the season. Two blocks, 9 of 10 for the free-throw line. He did most of the damage at the free-throw line. And that's where Arizona was able to turn this thing around, because for a while there, it really looked like they were toast. And when I say that, I mean that. When I say that, I mean it in that they were in big trouble on the ropes. St. Mary's was just, they were really executing. Trey was chucking his balls off, forcing just wildness. Arizona came out very wild in this game. They established Ristich inside. Ristich, he's not as polished as the other big guys that were in the game. But Ristich, he did come away and had a solid game where he scored 13 points, made a couple of good plays, which was back to the basket, and finished. But he's not as polished as the other guys. Rowan Hawkins did not have a good game at all. The kid from Brooklyn did not really have the game, did not show up in this one. Kadeem Allen made a huge three in the second half, and he did get into double digits, as did Ristich. So, I mean, they did have four players in doubles, and Trier scored most of his 14 in the second half because he was just brutal in the first half, and he came alive in the second half. But this was a tale of two games, really. They let Arizona back in the game. They really should have had them up down by a lot more, St. Mary's. I mean, I thought they played excellent. They were really executing their game. Their strategy was sound. They were very methodical. They used their clock. They took their time and were able to make some really good passes. And St. Mary's, you know, they were that team that finished second in that West Coast Conference with Gonzaga. And you could see Gonzaga beat them three times, but you could see why St. Mary's, you know, why you know, people do like them. People like TPG like them because they are well coached and they're well schooled. But they didn't knock down enough shots. They were only 5 of 21 from three, and obviously Landale cooled off, and that really hurt them. So you combine those two things right there, and Arizona finally woke up, finally realized, you know, we better awaken from the doldrums, from the coffin. They finally turned it on, and I think the fact that when I went away from the game because I had to lock in something else, that's when Arizona made their push, got back in the game, because they were at 1 point trailing by 10. By the half, they were only down by 1 point, 30-29. I think Markkanen had made a couple of free throws, and they just started to turn it around. And I think pretty much probably Sean Vogel just said, you know, we played a very bad first half, and we're only down 1 point. You know, all we got to do is go out there and win the second half. Let's go out there and win the second half. We're going to the Sweet Six. We're going to the Sweet 16. And that's what they did. They went out there, executed better, played better defense, wore down St. Mary's, and they are going. They're advancing. So it was an ugly game because the shooting wasn't all that great, and it was a little bit sloppy at times. But look, you know what they say, NC State, obviously, from the 30 for 30, survive and advance in the big dance. And that's what they did. They survived and they advanced. So they are going to the Sweet 16. And, you know, and now, you know, it gets even more interesting, obviously. But, if you know, you're not always going to be perfect when you're playing in these games. But they do the job. They got the job done. They do advance. I thought it was interesting at the end of the game where Bennett, and there's not just one, but there's a couple. Randy Bennett coaches St. Mary's. Tony Bennett coaches Virginia. And Dad said, Tony, I don't know why. He says, Tony Bennett's just sick to singing instead of coaching. After his Virginia Cavaliers scored 39 points. But I thought that was great. Father Felix getting a good one in. He always does. And that's what I love about my dad. He's always coming up with some good ones. I'm kind of like him in that respect. But Randy Bennett was very quick to just kind of walk by Sean Biller. They hardly acknowledged each other. Obviously, no love lost there. I know what that was all about. But the hate was real. I don't know if that was because Sean Miller did to UCLA. The timeout with 1 second left. But I thought that was pretty interesting. That was very interesting. It was about as a lack of a handshake. What was that? A slap. And then they just, there was hardly anything there. You know, the kids, obviously, they farm. And, you know, but that was interesting. I thought that was kind of interesting to see. So I don't know what that was all about. But this is the podcast, Hard Hits here. Got a little bit of time left as I'm breaking down some of these games. Yeah, I really don't have. Let's see. I mean, I broke down almost every game. I really don't have a lot more to add on this. Yeah, obviously you got Gonzaga and West Virginia. That's one matchup, and you got Arizona and Xavier. I think Xavier is going to be playing Arizona. So I really like to see Xavier with that with Chris Mack. I did pick Arizona to go to the Final Four. My Final Four is still alive. Just updating on the bracket. JPG is still in front, but he lost Villanova, and he had Villanova going very far. I have all my Final Four teams still alive. I have, for example, I've got Arizona. They're still in there. I've got Carolina, although they still have to win their second round game. I got them. I've got Duke. Well, they have to win their second round game. And I also have, not mistaken here, Kansas. So my Final Four is still alive, but, you know, the thing is, you just don't know how it's going to shake out. And that's the thing. How will it shake out? That's the biggest question with it. But it's fun. It's obviously fun to do and be a part of. And I just like the fact that we're just, it's not so much that we're, you know, I do it for fun. I'm not in any big pools. If I got into money pools, I think it would be a lot easier, right? It'd be a lot easier, you know, to, that would have been harder. I would have gotten into more pools and I would have come up with, I might have made some different picks. I might have done more analysis on my picks and insight in some of the picks that I made. But I don't have to do that. So what I do is I just go and make the picks, try to go with what I think is going to be best, who I think is going to come out on top. And, I think it's just impossible. It's impossible to really have a perfect bracket. It's just whoever has a perfect bracket, I don't know what they do. They're just doing it by metrics or what their analysis is on it. But I don't understand how you could, because it's just, it's so hard. It is so damn hard to figure it out. To figure out, you know, who, you know, how, it's really tough. It is a really tough thing to do. As I'm looking at my first place fantasy hockey team, I really hope I win. It's going to be really tight down the stretch. There's basically 10, 11 games left, 11, 12, 12 games at the tops. And I've only got one move left, and it's just really tight between first and third and fourth. I mean, I just hope that Lockless comes back soon. I'm still considering making that move. We'll see if I do. That one move that I'm thinking about. So, I mean, but, you know, I thought Notre Dame could do better than they did. They did not. Villanova, I wasn't bold enough to pick Wisconsin. I knew that would be a tough game for them to win. I think they weren't the same team. I think that's what it really came down to. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like you look at the record and you look at, you know, they only lost four games and you're thinking to yourself, well, they only lost four games. So obviously they did they got to be a one seed. Well, they were a one seed. You know, they were a one seed. It's not that they weren't a one seed. It's just that they did not play the way they could have played. Yeah, they only lost three games. But I think it just goes to show you how hard it is to repeat. I mean, yeah, they subtracted a couple of those guys. They subtracted Chefu and Arce Zakona. It's tough. And, you know, but I think that's what it's, you know, what it really comes down to. The chips are down. Yeah, you really don't know. But they were vulnerable if they got hit inside. They got beat inside by Nigel Hayes. And they did not guard Kenneth close enough, I thought. And Jenkins was terrible. And I just think that sometimes in these games, there's always that little X factor. The other thing I wanted to say regarding Arizona St. Mary's, there was a terrible missed call too in that game where I mean, it was so obvious that Markkanen like got away with a push from behind, and somehow they did not make the call. They called the foul. They called it on the St. Mary's guy, and like it would have been a foul on the floor because Arizona wasn't in the penalty, but would have given St. Mary's the ball back with a chance to maybe cut. I think a 5-point deficit at that point to maybe 3 or 2. Who knows? You know, and referees are not perfect, but I thought the referee was in real good position. I don't understand how he could have missed it. He was right underneath the basket. Yeah, it seemed like it was pretty clear as day. I don't know. I mean, these officials make a lot of money, a fortune in these games, and they're still making mistakes that, to me, you know, as a fan watching, just very disappointing, to be honest. You know, if you're breaking it down, you know, by conference, just to let you know who made it and how they did. I mean, the Big East plays seven. They got seven teams in. Obviously, Marquette was one and out. Xavier, they're in the Sweet 16. Providence was in the play-in, and they blew their game to USC, and USC won their game. Against SMU. So they're still playing tomorrow. Sinaloa, again, one and done. Creighton, bad matchup against Rhode Island. I think you knew Rhode Island was going to win that one. I would have favored in that one. Butler is still around. Villanova, I think that this one is Villanova. It's not that that it's a shock. Yeah, maybe it is a shock they lost, especially when they were in that winning position. You figured, you know, as an experienced team, they would find a way to finish them, and they didn't. They just didn't get it done. But you know what? It happens sometimes. It does happen. I mean, and I don't think Wisconsin was a great matchup for them. It wasn't. So I wasn't surprised. That game, you know, when Wisconsin came back after the timeout, they respond by scoring the next four to make it 57-54 before Kennett gets the big three. That to me showed me everything. That told me everything. That this game, there was something not there, you know. And they worked it a little bit then. Right. He did the same thing he was doing last year, subbing guys in and out. He was trying to keep his guys fresh. So he was doing everything he could. But his players did not make the plays. They did not make the plays, and they're out. About the ACC, I mean, you know, what do you got left? Well, obviously Notre Dame is out. Louisville is also on the ACC too. So you still have Louisville there too. You got Duke, you got Carolina. So these are schools that are still playing. So, you know, you have to look, you know, look at it from that standpoint. You know, in terms of, you know, so you have three teams. And these schools are all expected, you know, to come through. And we'll see. But Florida State, they're gone. They're going to play Virginia. Frauds. Miami or Florida, you're kidding. Total frauds. Just flopped out. But this is a strong conference. Notre Dame, they don't have anything to be ashamed of. They played hard. And they came up against a good team. And that was going to be a close game. Carolina and Duke. But you still have Carolina, Duke, and you got Louisville. And it still feels weird saying that Louisville is in the ACC. Rhode Island is they're carrying the banner right now. They're waving the banner for Atlantic 10. You know, Dayton, they got picked off. That wasn't a shock. VCU lost. So that's what you have there. The Big 12, West Virginia is still there. Baylor is still in this tournament. Kansas, obviously, still in. Now, obviously, Baylor will play later today. WVA is playing Gonzaga. I think that'll be a real interesting matchup. Kansas, they're playing later today. Iowa State, they had another good showing, even though they lost. That was a great game. Has a really great finish to Saturday, to be honest. I really like what I saw out of those two teams, the way they play. They fought really hard. All right, so you have that. Gulf Coast was for the Alexa. They were obviously the only team from there, and they fought hard before losing. We did the Big East already, and there's only two left. North Dakota, they certainly gave it a good fight in that first round. Any other major schools? The Big Ten. The Boilermakers, you know, they had a really good year, and here they are. Them and Wisconsin are both still around. Michigan's going to try. They're going to try to see if they can actually make it three Big Ten teams. Michigan State could make it four as well, so... USC's taking on Baylor. I have not talked much about that. I think that's a better matchup for Baylor, but who knows? Who knows anymore? Michigan's matching up against Louisville. So, I mean, you have some interesting matchups, obviously. You know, I want to make one note, though. In terms of one conference, it's a conference that I've been on and have talked about and have been criticized for my opinion, but look at that Big 12, and 12 is still undefeated right now. Now, a lot could change. That could change. And Rhode Island matched up with Oregon, and they can take them out with Hassan Martin and their guards. But Oregon is trying to make it to the Sweet 16. Arizona is in the Sweet 16. UCLA, they're looking to advance to the Sweet 16. And USC is looking to advance. So far, they're undefeated. So this is a really good conference, I think. I watched a lot more of the conference this year, so I'm trying to be fair about it. The SEC, I mean, you got Arkansas going against Carolina. They're going to be big on the dog in that. South Carolina against Duke. It got the home support. That's going to be interesting. And I was very impressed by from South Carolina in their win against Marquette. I was very impressed with them, with how well they played. Florida, they're right there in the Sweet 16. Kentucky looking to go. I mean, I'm not really a big person in terms of, you know, analyzing, you know, the different big conferences, but I'm just analyzing it because I am. That's going to do it for this special podcast edition, though. Enjoy tomorrow's games, and maybe we'll do one more podcast. Maybe we'll do some baseball, too. Who knows? Maybe we'll actually bring a guest on. But this show's about to end, so I will say goodbye and peace and love to everybody, and enjoy the games today. It should be a lot of fun. And this is Derek Felix, and make sure you download our podcast and hear what I have to say. All right? D-Flex is out. Peace, everybody, and love. Have a good one.